by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine, by the grace of Allah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور
My dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to our morning show, our morning program. It goes by the name of Rise and Shine. Alhamdulillah, we have, yes, a guest. You would have already heard of him by now, my dear viewers. Somebody undoubtedly you've seen many times. Hafsab, I was thinking, subhanAllah, that every program, just as we were reciting it now, just, you know, I was reciting, you reciting it after me. I just wish I could also hear the audience of Madani Channel also reciting it. But mashallah, I had that, I got a buzz from it. You know, that it's beautiful,
you're
isn't it?
Alhamdulillah.
Sorry?
Now you're missing that jawab, aren't you?
That's probably what it is, subhanAllah. It's possibly that I'm missing somebody repeating after me, subhanAllah. Jazakallah khairah, first and foremost, Hafsa, for joining us. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, Alhamdulillah, Azzurrah. Today we have a beautiful topic, something different and something I don't think we've ever spoken about before on Rise and Shine. Yeah. Yes, my dear viewers, what is today's topic? First, we begin by listening to the qira'at, the recitation of the glorious Quran, and then inshallah you shall hear about our topic and about another guest. Yes, today's special, my dear viewers. First, let's listen to the Quran recitation and then we shall return. Sallu alal habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والسماء ذات البروج واليوم
صدق الله.
الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. And viewers, for those that may have just joined us, Alhamdulillah, you are watching Rise and Shine. Today our final segment, inshallah, we shall be hearing about one particular department of Dawat-e-Islami. And today's department is very, very important because one of the fundamental causes and purpose, my dear viewers, of not only Madani channel itself, and Madani channel is a prime example, spreading knowledge, but Dawat-e-Islami overall is to spread knowledge, to spread the deen, to spread the religion, my dear viewers, and knowledge about our religion. And Alhamdulillah, nobody's ever told me this, but with confidence I can say this, that there are possibly thousands of courses that have taken place, and inshallah, with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we shall have thousands of more of courses. But in regards to our courses, what type of courses there are, inshallah, you shall be hearing about today. Now, after having listened to the tilawat of the Quran, we move on to the na'at of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then we shall be speaking about today's topic. Today, what is the topic? Today's topic is tahqeerul masakeen. Tahqeer, to look down upon, to consider somebody to be inferior, to consider who? The poor. My dear viewers, to consider yourself to be superior than those people who may be economically less well off than yourselves. This is undoubtedly a sin. It is haram. It is something which is prohibited within this beautiful religion of Islam. And today, inshallah, we shall hear much more about this. First, let's listen to the na'at of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then, inshallah, we shall come to our topic. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Tumara naam musibat mein jab liya hoga, tumara naam musibat mein jab liya hoga, tumara naam musibat mein jab liya Yeah. کہ آپ ہی کی خوشی آپ کا کہا ہوگا ہمارا بگڑا ہوا کام بن گیا ہوگا خدا پاک کی چاہیں گے اگلے پچھلے خوشی خدا پاک کی چاہیں گے اگلے پچھلے خوشی خدا پاک کی چاہیں گے اگلے پچھلے خوشی خدا پاک خوشی ان کی چاہتا ان کی چاہتا ہوگا ہمارا بگڑا ہوا کام بن گیا ہوگا کوئی کہے گا دہائی ہے یا رسول اللہ مچل گیا ہوگا تو کوئی تھام کے دام مچل گیا ہوگا ہمارا بگڑا ہوا کام بن گیا ہوگا کوئی قریب لبے کو سے کوئی قریب ترازو کوئی لبے کو سے کوئی صراط پہ ان کو پکارتا ہوگا کوئی صراط پہ ان کو لہا ہوگا میں ان کے در کا بھکاری ہوں فضل مولا سے میں ان کے در کا بھکاری ہوں فضل مولا سے حسن فقیر کا جنت میں بستر ہوگا حسن فقیر کا جنت میں بستر ہوگا
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم. My dear viewers, alhamdulillah, azzawajal. For those that may have just joined us, you are watching Rise and Shine. Today's topic there's a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. He states that Islam started with the poor. It shall end with the poor. فَطُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَى. So good news to those individuals who are poor. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jalla, we are blessed firstly to be from the Ummah of the greatest of mankind, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then we have such a prophet, my dear viewers. You know, there were previous prophets, people like Hazrat Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. He reigned over the entire world. So there were great kings, my dear viewers. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam was also a king. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given the option. If he wished, and in reality he did have the keys. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states that I was given urtiitu atiha khuzain al-ard, that I was granted the keys of all of the treasures of the earth. So yes, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had everything. But as a choice, he decided to apparently be poor, my dear viewers of Allah, inshallah, to not possess excessive wealth or close to anything at all. This is the decision of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the option to be from amongst the rich or the poor, and he chose to be amongst the poor. My dear viewers of Allah, inshallah, this is what, inshallah, we shall be speaking about today. Do for the poor. There are many people who despise the poor, and there are many reasons for this. There are many causes. We shall also look into these causes. Firstly, Alhamdulillah, we do have our respected and honourable guest, Hafiz Rafaqat Sahib. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him and his family. Ameen. And keep him amongst us, inshallah, regularly, especially join us with Rise and Shine. Hafiz Sahib, where to begin?
MashaAllah, definitely you've chosen a unique topic today. I don't think we've ever discuss this topic on Madani Channel, English Channel. I don't think
right.
Yeah, they're despising the poor people. And you know, if you look at the life, the very beautiful hadith that you mentioned of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that deen started with the poor, it remained in the poor, and it finished with the poor. So, and there is a beautiful booklet that Amir al-Sunnat has written, "Ghareeb Faide Mein Hai," Excellence of Poverty. And it's a very beautiful booklet that Amir al-Sunnat has written. And it's basically, you know, how there's two types that you can lead to the path of Allah Ta'ala. One is through poverty and hardship, and the other is ease, one with wealth. But both of them, they lead to Allah Azza wa Jalla. So if, you know, Allah Ta'ala has given people money, and He's given them ease in the world. And some people, He's given them hardship, and He's given them poverty. Now, those people who are poor, never think to yourself that the other people are better than us. You know, they can do a lot of sadaqah, we can't do no sadaqah. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says at the end, it is the poor people. And you will find majority of the people in paradise, they will be amongst the ghuraba people.
Even also, if you to consider the history, the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and amongst those first individuals to accept Islam. Yes, people, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, you know, he was quite rich. He possessed approximately, you know, 40,000 dirhams at the time, which he spent. As he said, there's, you know, there's a path of wealth which can lead you towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like that of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. But then there were also people like Hazrat Ammar bin Yasir, people like Hazrat Khabbab, people like Hazrat Bilal.
Mus'ab bin Umair.
He was also very rich.
Mus'ab bin Umair, when he accepted Islam, his mother said to him, "Take the clothes off that you are wearing, they belong to me."
Yes.
So his new life in Islam was in poverty. And you know, the thing is, the ending of Sayyidina Mus'ab bin Umair, when he was martyred in the Battle of Uhud,
Allah,
the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cried at Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu ta'ala anhu.
Yes, and it's mentioned about the cloth, isn't it?
Yeah, it wouldn't fit his blessed body, you know, it was short. But you know, the thing is, there are a lot of people, even in this country as well, in the Western world, they don't have much money. But Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we should always be thankful to Allah Azza wa Jal. And then those of us who do have the money, you know, those people who have the money, who have the means, you know, always don't look upon people who are poor. I've seen it, how people were treating, you know, their neighbors, and because they didn't have no money, and even to an extent they wouldn't even sit next to them. You know, that is very, very bad.
You see, because sadly, Hafsab, is they've created such a system to keep the rich separate from the poor. What is the system? That there will be some shops, the clothes will be extremely expensive.
Ji.
Other shops, very, very cheap. Some eating places, very, very expensive. Others, very, very cheap. Who are the people who are going to go to the expensive ones?
You know, if you look at the system which is creating now, where they've made separate little towns, these towns, obviously, they're for the rich people. They're not for the poor people. But, you know, that's how people will look at them, and they'll probably think, you know, why do we not have the money? And people do talk about that. Yeah, this morning I woke up for Fajr Salah, and the first thing I did was someone sent me a photo of a father with his two children sleeping rough on the streets in Pakistan. And you think to yourself, you know, these are people who, there's no one there. Oh, this guy who took the photograph, maybe he must have given him something, but maybe it could be that he's just taken the photo and walked off.
Allahu Akbar. Sadly, this is what we do, in fact, Hafsa. It's good you mentioned that, because we look at them and we say, oh wow, look at that. Look how these people are living. But we leave it as that. And then we leave. Or we'll use that to show off to people. Mm-hmm. Oh look, I took this picture. But my dear viewers, sadly, there are people who are living destitute. People who have completely nothing whatsoever. People, yes, who are living on the streets.
Here as well.
Even, it's not,
yeah.
It doesn't mean that, for example, we're living in England, and England is completely, you know, there's nobody who's poor. No, there's many people. And this is all over the world. I think the rich can only remain rich with people being poor.
Yeah.
Because the rich, obviously, are dependent upon the poor, aren't they? So they, it's very, very difficult. But nevertheless, what we must understand, Hafsab, it's not that, you know, everybody should be equal. No, some people work harder. They deserve to be rich. And what we need to understand is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it to them.
It's a test.
This is what
Allah.
It comes down to.
You know, I always say it's a test from Allah to give you the money. It's a test from Allah not to give you that money. How are you going to do? Are you going to thank Allah Azza wa Jal for what He's given you? And if you don't have anything, are you still going to be thankful to Allah Azza wa Jal? You know, end of days.
And this is temporary. When we come to the world, we all come to the world naked. It sounds strange, but it's the truth, isn't it? We come to the world naked. Everybody comes. There's nobody that comes to the world. Have you ever heard of this?
With a suit and tie on.
Allahu Akbar. Anybody coming to the world with, you know, clothed or suited and booted, as we say, no, my dear viewers. Everybody, we come to the world naked. When we leave the world, we all have our three pieces of cloth.
That's it.
Some who are not so fortunate, less, but we all live in our shroud, my dear viewers. So what's between there is our test. This is our life, and our life is a test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given some people more. He has given other people less. Some people who He gave more to, this could be a blessing for them. You know, there's a hadith sharif of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam states that if you see a person who is given whatever he asks for, and he continues to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deluding him.
Bishop.
This person, he's just being deluded. He thinks he's being given everything. This is his punishment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives some people more. This could be a blessing. This could be a test for them. And He gives other people less. This could be a blessing for them. Sometimes He strikes His obedient servants with difficulty. Why? So that they can remain patient and satisfied, and this shall be a means for the forgiveness of their sins, so that when they come to Me on the Day of Judgment, when they come to the grand court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can grant them paradise.
You know, there's another verse in the Quran where Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says that do not ridicule the people, because those who are being ridiculed may be better than you. You know, so if we ridicule and we think of these people as inferior, as you mentioned, maybe they are better than us.
Mufti Sahib actually mentions that this is referring to the poor people. And you know, especially these people like Hazrat Bilal al-Ra'an, who had, you know, close to nothing. They were slaves, weren't they? He had completely nothing, my dear viewers. These are, and another thing we need to understand, Hafsa, is that if you take a look at the people who have done the most for Islam, tell me, who's monetarily, who's given amongst those people who are given the most? You know, names strike out Hazrat Abdurrahman ibn Auf, who was the richest companion. People like Hazrat Usman al-Ghani, who's known as Usman the Rich. People like this who have paid so much. But what did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? That I have paid everybody back.
Masha'Allah.
Except for who? Okay. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his wealth, he wasn't amongst the rich. Yes, he was a nobleman. Yes, he was a businessman. But you wouldn't say he was amongst the elite. No, he wasn't. He wasn't, Madhavi was. But yet his wealth has benefited so much that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam states that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall repay him.
Subhanallah.
And the amount, even if Makkah al-Mukarramah, it was first the poor that accepted Islam.
Mm-hmm.
It was mainly the poor that had accepted Islam. Or those people who, they were rich, but they lost everything because they were subjugated, because they were, you know, they were subjected to torture and difficulty, they were robbed. And when they left Makkah al-Mukarramah, they were all poor. It mentions in the Quran that they were poor, Madhavi.
They left everything.
They left, because they left everything there. But even when they came to Al-Madinah al-Munawwara, there were two main tribes, one day. There was the Aws and the Khazraj. How many of the Aws were Muslims? How many of the Khazraj? There was triple, even in the Battle of Badr, there was about double or even triple than the Aws, there was of the Khazraj. Why? Because they were the poor people. The Khazraj was the poorer tribe. And there were much more individuals who were from the Khazraj than the Aws. So this shows, and one of the fundamental reasons given is that these were poor people.
Mm-hmm.
So it is the poor that have done so much for our religion, my dear viewers. And the Prophet ﷺ has decided to be amongst the poor. So how can we ever despise the poor?
There's another saying that a poor person will enter paradise 500 years before a rich person.
You know, so 500 years? How is that possible?
Why? Because he'll have not much account to give. You know, you have to give account for every penny. ثُمَّ لَا تُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَ إِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ So all these blessings that Allah Ta'ala, all the blessings, the ni'mas that Allah Ta'ala has given you, you're going to be accountable for every penny, you're going to be accountable. And because these people didn't have anything, they're going to go.
I think by 500 years, what it refers to is half a day. But because a day is equivalent to 1,000 years, so this is why I stated 500 years, my dear viewers. And yes, which is so true, that on the day of judgment, everybody shall be made, and may Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala exempt us from those people.
There is a waqiyah about Bani Israel. It's about a pious person. If we can take it, you know, for example, if that person was a rich person, that pious person lost all his good deeds because he was despising this sinful person.
Allah.
So he lost everything. In the same way, if you think to yourself, I'm rich and this poor person doesn't have anything, maybe that despising and that, awkward, as we say, maybe that's going to destroy everything that you have.
It's mentioned by Hazrat Ma'ruf Karkhi, that he was seen in a dream. I think Hazrat Hussein, he states this, that he's seen him in a dream. And he says to him, you know, the famous question that, what is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has dealt with you? مَا فَعَلَ اللَّهُ بِكَ And he replies that I was granted Jannah, was forgiven for all my sins. And he says, really, is it because of all of your, you know, your excessive worship, the knowledge you sought, all the work you did, you know, you worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much, you did so much good? He says, no. He says, the reason being is I was once advised to love the poor and to be amongst the poor. I chose to do so, and for this reason I was forgiven.
Subhanallah.
Hafsab, now naturally, honestly, naturally everybody wishes to be rich. We think, because it's in our nature, isn't it? That we naturally, we have that love for the world. But everybody, you know, like, for example, we can't say that we're free of this. I can't, I don't think you can.
No.
Because generally, there's ease in being rich, isn't there? Everything's, you know, so much easier. You live more comfortably, your house is better, you can get to places easier if you have, you know, a nicer car. So it's normal, my dear viewers. You know, there's no harm. It's normal to love riches. It's normal, although we shouldn't.
Mm.
We shouldn't have love for the world.
Yeah.
Whatever it should be for our deen. But one thing, my dear viewers, is to be rich. And we're not saying there's any harm in being rich.
No. You mentioned Hazrat Abdul Rahman and Hazrat Usman.
Yes.
They were very rich people.
People who companions who were very, very rich. And how much did they do for the deen? It's mentioned that once Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was saying to the companions that, you know, give towards the soon coming battle, that of Tabuk, my dear viewers. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, and this is another lesson also, that those people who ask for the deen, they should not be embarrassed.
Mm.
Why? Because this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some people think that if I ask, am I going to look like a poor person?
Mm.
Am I going to be asking people? No, my dear viewers. You're not asking for yourself. If you're asking for yourself, that's another matter.
Yes.
But you are asking for the deen, you should ask confidently. Why? Because this is a practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet would say, you know, give. Hazrat Usman radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, I stood up and said, Ya Rasulullah, 300 camels. And then he sat back down. And he says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued, and I felt ashamed to sit and do nothing. So again he stands, it's stated he gave 900.
Mm-hmm.
900 camels along with their Lord, along with everything, all the possessions, my dear viewers. And one camel, Hafizab, one camel, a person who possessed one camel would be considered wealthy.
Mm.
He would be considered wealthy. And we must understand that the use of a camel was much more important than sometimes we'll compare it to a car. But it's much more significant than a car.
It's like the most expensive car you got, isn't it?
Yeah, in a way, yes, but it wasn't only the means of transport. It was also, you know, they would take milk from it.
Yeah.
There's also so many other stuff, work they would use it for. So there's so much benefit. Having one camel was huge. And Hazrat Usman radhiyallahu anhu, 900 camels, my dear viewers. So this shows this benefit in being rich. But our lesson today, we're not talking about don't be rich, you shouldn't be rich, throw your wealth away, no. What we're saying is, if there's somebody who's poor, do not despise them. If there's somebody who's poor, do not look down on them. Sadly, this happens.
There's a beautiful story where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sat amongst his companions, and a poor person, he walks inside and he finds a space and he sits with these people. Now this person who he sits with is a rich person, and he starts to fold his clothing away from him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these are people who are learning Islam now. So he starts to fold his clothing, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he looked at that and he says, you know, why are you doing that? Is it because you worry that your wealth is going to go to him, or he's going to, you know, get your wealth away from you? And he goes, no, Ya Rasulullah, that's not the case. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, why did you do it for them? And you know, this person, he had no answer. He goes, Ya Rasulullah, I'm sorry. You know, and he said that, Ya Rasulullah, for what I have done, to compensate that, I'm going to give him half of my wealth.
Allah.
And this poor Sahabi stood up and he goes, Ya Rasulullah, I don't want his wealth. And everyone's gobsmacked, half of his wealth is a lot. You know, he was very rich. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled and he says, why not? He goes, Ya Rasulullah, well, if I have that wealth and I do the same what he did to me,
Allah,
I don't want to do that as well. So, you know, you learn from the poor people as well, you know,
yes.
SubhanAllah. So that just mentions to you that, you know, your wealth is not going to decrease because, you know, today, alhamdulillah, the Hajj is a prime example. You know, you'll have, even that sadly is changing as well. You know, when there's poor people, sadly they sleep outside the masjid whilst the rich live in the five-star hotels. But that's fine. But if you come and despise
Does that happen?
It does happen, sadly, yeah. You know, things have changed there as well now, aren't they?
Right.
You know, you'll see people, you know, someone sent me a clip because I was doing a bit of research on this, and I came across someone who sent me a clip about people who went to perform Hajj, and it goes, it was beautiful, but there was one thing, you know, because we were poor, we weren't treated as better as the other normal people, you know,
yeah.
So they were mostly on handouts, and they lived miles away, and they can't go back. But they said that was fine. But it's the way they were treated by the rich people. Even now, you know, when you see a rich person doing the tawaf, first of all, he's going to have the whole camera crew with him. And, you know, the people, you know, turning them away. You know, get out of way, you know,
yeah.
The person's doing tawaf.
Yeah.
But, you know, we see, you know, these people, maybe the rich and the famous. But alhamdulillah, in the past 2 years, we see one of the most famous personalities in Islam doing Hajj,
Allah.
Not moving any person. So they just tells you that if you have the knowledge of the deen, you won't do these kind of things.
Yes.
And that personality is Amir al-Sunnah.
Allah, Allah.
You know, you see that, you know, he's the biggest, you know, sheikh in the world, the most followers in the world, the biggest tanzeem in the world, Dawat Islami. But yeah, when he performs Hajj, he says, leave everyone alone. This is not only our space, it's everyone's space.
And
that you learn from them, don't
you? Allah, this is another matter, isn't it? That so many people want to meet them.
Yes.
They're always waiting there just to see them do tawaf.
Yes.
But then what do they say? That you could be harming others. My dear viewers of Madinah, alhamdulillah, azzurl, Amir Ahlul Sunnah, Dawat Barakatum Al-Aliyah, the founder of Dawat Islami, for everything, mashallah, they're a prime example, alhamdulillah. You know, we happily say this, and even with Amir al-Sunnah, we're talking on this topic, despising the poor.
Yeah.
One thing, Amir al-Sunnah, you know, Dawud Barakatum al-Ali, they've written a book. This itself is a, how many, who else, have you ever heard of a book written just solely, a book dedicated to the blessings of being poor?
SubhanAllah. First time I've read that, mashallah.
Really, you know, we find chapters, yes. We find chapters within books, but completely a separate book, I've never heard of that before. This is one matter. The second, my dear viewers, is mashallah, there's been, because you know, the markaz, the center of Dawat Islami, which is in Bab al-Madinah, Karachi in Pakistan, it is huge, my dear viewers. Mashallah, it is huge. And we have many people coming. And a lot of those people are really, really rich.
Alhamdulillah.
Now, when you have those people coming, and for example, let's just say there's a queue to meet Amir al-Sunnah, Hafsa, what happens?
You know, mashallah, it doesn't matter who's rich and who's poor, they're all stood in that queue. Because
some people even request, they say, look, I'm here, let me go meet them. Yes, some people who may be world famous, and you know, they may be professional, whatever they are, my dear viewers, they will say, you know, I want to, you know, meet them. I'm not going to wait in the line, which is going to take hours. And then what happens? They put their request in, and Amir al-Sunnah says he could wait with the rest. And they, why? Because just because he's wealthy doesn't mean he should be given preference, no.
Okay.
Because Amir al-Sunnah has, honestly, that love even for those people who are poor.
Apart from the ulama, the scholars, everyone else, you know, Amir al-Sunnah, they say, look, even for the kind of food, you know, it doesn't mean that if the poor people are eating chawal, you know, in the patars, yeah. I don't even know what patar is in English. Yeah, so if they're eating
chawal...
They're
like a big ball, you would
yeah.
say.
So if they're all eating chawal, the rich and famous will be eating the same as well. They're not going to get, you know, five-star treatment. Even, you know, but there is one thing, you know, when we go from the UK, the food is slightly different. That's not because we're from the UK and all that. It's because our diet is different.
Yes.
You know, now, I mean, in Fazane Medina now, you've got the AC, you've got the carpet and everything. That's not because people from the UK are coming.
But even the AC is for everyone now,
it's for
it?
Everyone. I think it took a 1.5 year for the Muftiyane Kiram to give the go-ahead to install them. Because Amir al-Sunnah, first of all, what they did was they said, okay, you know, we've got these people from the UK that they come in from overseas, they can't hack the environment here, so therefore we need to install them.
Yes,
they gathered money, didn't they?
So that's the only reason then, isn't it? The only reason there is any difference is because, for example, if we were to go there, and I've seen this, many times people go there and, you know, they become ill, they're not able to hack the food, they allow biryani in Karachi, you know, the water, my dear viewers. So yes, things are provided. Why? Because to meet their needs. It's not that, you know, they're giving them extra five-star treatment, no, my dear viewers. But another thing, Hafsab, we've mentioned that this AAC there, because we're speaking about, mashallah, that's Amin Amir al-Sunnah as a prime example.
Mm-hmm.
So we mentioned this AC there, but there's not only AC for those special visitors, it's for everyone, isn't it? AC is for everyone. But secondly, Hafizab, you'll know even more, because mashallah, you've been given this blessing.
Alhamdulillah.
That Amir al-Sunnah's own room, is there any AC?
No, I had the privilege to stay in that room for one night. There's no AC. Nothing like that. And Amir al-Sunnah says that I don't want to stay in a room where there's, you know, there's AC for me. You know, if people are sleeping with a fan, I'll just have a fan as well.
Allah.
And seriously, waqi is the karamat of Amir al-Sunnah that he can sleep in that room. I could not hack sleeping in that room. It was a privilege for me, but because I had to stay there for a few weeks, you know, but I had to go to
Alhamdulillah, each and every single day. We have a daily reminder. Let's move to our reminder. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
My viewers of the channel, Sheikh Imam Ahmad bin Hajar Makki Shafi has stated that backbiting is to mention any shortcoming that the person possesses, whether the fault is in his non-practice of religion, worldly affairs, personality, character, wealth, progeny, spouse, servant, slave, turban, or anything else. His rudeness, politeness, and anything related to him, examples of backbiting about the others are: he is blind, crippled, bigot, lanky, and black or yellow. My sweet Islamic brothers, all these are backbiting. Now, there are many, many more suggestions, but what we have to see is, how do we talk about people in society today? We sit down in our little circles and we do not enjoy ourselves until we talk about somebody. We do not enjoy it until somebody says something about somebody else and we nod our head. And we even go, yes. We are not involved until we say that. We get so much involved that all of our rewards are given to that person. My dear viewers of Madni Channel, why do we do this? Would you like to eat the flesh of your dead brother? Because a person who backbites eats the flesh of his dead brother. It is like to eat the flesh of your dead brother. I am sure we would not like to eat the flesh of our dead brothers. So we should not backbite. They say in the Madni Mahal of Dawat Islami, fighting against backbiting will continue, inshallah azza wa jal. So my sweet Islamic brothers, please stop backbiting and keep the rewards for yourself. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear viewers of Madni Channel, alhamdulillahi azza wa jal. For those of you that may have just joined us, the topic for today: despising the poor. My dear viewers, this is what we shall be speaking about. Now, alhamdulillahi azza wa jal, mashallah, you are watching Rise and Shine. Today, Hafiz Sahab, what we are speaking about: despising the poor.
Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there's a very famous waqi about him, that Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he used to wear simple clothing.
Right.
He used to have patches on his jubba as well. And someone asked him once that, Ya Amirul Mu'mineen, why do you wear, you know, alhamdulillah, Islam has grown, you know, so big now. Why do you wear jubba with patches on?
Allah.
And Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he replied, Ya Sha'ul Qalbu wa yaqtadi bihil Mu'min. Basically, what he means that it softens the heart of a Muslim. So when if you see someone with patches on, one thing is, don't make fun of him. And a person who is wearing clothing with patches on, you know, be happy that you're acting upon the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you look at the Sahaba ikram alayhi wa sallam, the Awliya ikram, they all wore simple clothing. You know, there is no advantage, you know, for a person in the hereafter, the one who wears good clothing in this world. Because if they can afford it, that's their look. There's a very famous waqia about Hazrat Sayyidina Mahmud Ghaznavi rahmatullah alayhi. He's in Madinah Park, and there's another king from another country. So Mahmud Ghaznavi rahmatullah alayhi, he's wearing simple clothing, and he stood in front of the Rozai Park, and the king, he says, Mahmud Ghaznavi asked this king, why are you wearing your lavish clothing in Madinah? And he goes, because it is the sadaqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I've come to give thanks to Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for what they've given me.
Subhanallah.
And he goes, why are you wearing simple clothing? He goes, because in this bargah there is no one better than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that's why I'm wearing. So intentions both were good, weren't they?
Allah.
So in the same way, you know, the poor people should have good intentions, that whatever Allah Ta'ala has given us, you know, be happy, be content with that. And if you are rich and famous, and always thank Allah for what He has given, because there's people who lived in this world, they were up there one day, the next day people never knew them.
Yes, this is in fact also undoubtedly true, isn't it, that whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes, my dear viewers, He can take you from, they have people who were very, yes, very rich,
yes.
I know people who say that, you know, we spent millions, we, you know, betting or whatever, and it went like that, and now they're very poor, and they're, you know, can hardly maintain themselves. But one thing you mentioned, I'm not saying Mufti Sahib is available, but one thing you did mention which reminded me of an important waqia, a brilliant one. You mentioned Hazrat Ali radiallahu an, but then there's also Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu an. He had some state 17 patches in his clothes. Imagine this, a person who's leading half the world. And when he was going towards Palestine, to open Palestine, Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu went with one of his servants. And you know, there's a famous story of on the one was riding the horse, the other one was walking, and they would take turns. And then when the time came, those people were not able to distinguish the two. They were not sure because the slave was on the horse. So they were thinking that was Hazrat Umar Farooq, which shows the state of Hazrat Umar Farooq. Mufti Saab, are you with us?
Alhamdulillah, I'm with you now. I can hear you very well.
Mufti Saab, the topic for today, we're speaking about the dishonoring, humiliating, despising people who are poor.
Yeah, that is actually a sickness which is born out of arrogance and ignorance. And the people, when they are ignorant and they are full of arrogance, they start looking down upon other people who are not so privileged from worldly point of view, who are underprivileged, and to judge other people, to think about them that they are smaller than them or they are lower than them, it's a ruhani sickness, it's a spiritual ailment. And a lot of people are suffering with that and they need treatment. They need to be treated. They need to be reformed and overcome that problem. Unfortunately, when comforts, luxuries, money, resources are under your feet, then it's very difficult to keep balance. And especially those who become newly rich people, they don't know how to handle wealth. And they are the one that you will see mostly seen in casinos, having big cars with loud music and commenting on other people who are poor, less privileged. Because people don't know how to handle the bounties of Allah, how to be grateful and thankful. And this is out of ignorance. The ilm-e-deen is required. The company of pious people is required. A good mahawal is needed to have balance when things change, when we move from poverty to richness.
Subhanallah. Mufti Saab.
Yes.
MashaAllah, beautifully, Mufti Saab, you began. But you are a person who, MashaAllah, experienced. You're a person who has, yes, you've stayed in the United Kingdom. You've been to many places. You are now, I think, you're in South Africa. I've heard you in Malawi, is it?
Yes, I was in Malawi, where you see many of these things that you are talking about. You know, working with the native people who are Africans and they're less privileged. Malawi is one of the countries that is cleared, you know, very poor, under poverty lines people are living. And they are hungry and thirsty to, you know, improve their akhirah and have, you know, ruhani satisfaction, and they love religion. And many of them, when you invite them to the path of Islam, they accept. The challenge is that when they become Muslim, actually, you can invite the whole village and ask them to become Muslim, they all will become Muslim. You can bring them into the fold of Islam in hundreds. But then you need to have a masjid for them. You need to have a madrasa for them. You need to have an alim, a teacher, a sheikh for them sitting there guiding them. You need to educate their men, their women, their children. And that you would see the need when you move into villages. Like in my trip, our Islamic brothers, they took me into villages, and I was shocked to see the condition, and I felt the need. With a very little money, you can put up a masjid. The country, the work, the workmanship is cheap. You can spend little money. We actually worked out that within $35,000, you can put up a beautiful masjid and madrasa and a residence for the imam and muazzin. And buy land as well. And that fulfills the need of the people of the vicinity, the people of the area. So, and there's so much keenness to learn ilm-e-deen. I was just talking to one of my friends, and I was saying, you know, if you are a good businessman, you will put up your factory where the raw material is. So you don't spend money on transporting the raw material. That is the place we should put up a beautiful jamia, a Darul Uloom, a university of higher Islamic learning. And you will get thousands of students coming who are sincere and humble and appreciate what you have done for them. And they would learn, and you can send them all over the world to serve ilm-e-deen, not only in Malawi, but South Africa, UK. It's wonderful. In fact, I'm inviting the UK brothers to bring kafila and visit Malawi and go into villages and see the condition yourself. You will fall in love with that place. If you really want to work, because they're so sincere, they're humble, they're poor, no doubt, but their hearts are very rich, very respectful. And trust me, if you want to do the work of deen, yes, do everywhere the work of deen is needed. But some places you can flourish, and you can do quickly with less money even.
SubhanAllah. I mean, Hafiz Sahib, whilst you're speaking, it just makes me wish, Hafiz Sahib, I don't know if you're also, SubhanAllah, it makes me wish that we could go and really, Mustafa, mashallah, telling us how he can just go to a village and these people are so humble, so kind, and you know, they just listen, because you know, it's the poor people, and if you invite them to Islam, entire village will accept Islam. And you know, mashallah, you could do billion work. And yes, I've experienced this. There's been many individuals that have called in, and you know, they've been asking about Islam, etc. And mashallah, this is how they accept Islam. Now, Mufti Sahib, I have a question for you. This is, inshallah, something I will also be posing to our Hafiz Rifaqat Sahib, that sometimes, Mufti Sahib, it's not that we despise the poor. Many people would say this. I don't hate people being poor. I respect them, and you know, I give sadaqah to poor people. But I just feel uncomfortable. You know, like there's the example that Hafiz Rifaqat Sahib gave about one companion. He was sitting next to a poor person, and he moved his clothes a little. And then the Prophet ﷺ asked him why, and you know, he even offered to give half his wealth. So sometimes it's just, you're not comfortable. Is there anything wrong with this?
In fact, we have many feelings, we have many natures, and if we don't mold them and correct them, we become animals. Throughout our lives, all our period of learning is about reforming, changing things. When we are children and when we don't know many things, we just follow our nafs. We just do what we desire. And then teachers, they mold us. Our parents, they mold us. Our sheikh, they reform us. So if there is something that you feel, you know, I'm uncomfortable, it's natural. But if it's not correct, that must be changed.
Allah.
You need to work on it. And there's no such thing that, oh, it's natural, it's in me, sorry, I can't help it. And, you know, it's me. You know, those kind of dialogues people use, I feel uncomfortable, I feel uneasy. So work on it and make yourself comfortable, because that's the right thing to do. You need to, you know, brotherhood and equality with other brothers, it must be demonstrated. It must be visible. You can't sit with people of other race and eat with them. You feel uncomfortable standing next to him to perform salat, and you can't share leadership with him. You always want to see him under you, not over you, above you in position. Then you got a problem. And this is what we're talking about, that reform is needed. Our Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam has broken down all types of discrimination.
Allah.
Only thing that's counted is taqwa. How much you fear Allah, how close you are. So you are affluent person, and your color skin is like this, your skin color is like this, your looks are like this, your hair are of this style or that style. That means nothing.
Would you say the best solution to being comfortable amongst the poor is just going out there and just living amongst the poor?
Forcing yourself. Because not every time. I mean, a lot of people don't read namaz.
Right.
And they're comfortable with not reading namaz. So you can't continue with that. You have to force yourself.
Yes.
And when you force yourself for a few times, for a few days, or a few weeks, it's hard for you, but then slowly it will become your habit.
SubhanAllah. MashaAllah. Jazakallah khairah, Mufti Saab, for beautiful, mashaAllah, those pearls. We do join you, Mustafa. Honestly, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. Ahmadi, viewers, really, this is a lesson. This is a lesson for those people, because there are some people on the Hafiz of Hakazab that they just preach. People who are rich, and they'll only go towards them people.
And mashallah, Mufti Sahab, I've seen some of the pictures on social media.
Right.
How Mufti Sahab is amongst, you know, these people and preaching them, eating with them, spending time with them. And this is what Amir Ahle Sunnat says, that you have to be within the people to spread the message of Islam. Mm-hmm. And may Allah Ta'ala preserve Mufti Sahab. Is a very beautiful asset for Dawat Islami. And mashallah, a beautiful role model for all of us.
Mashallah. So Hafsab, when are you going to take up Mufti Sahab's invitation to go to Malawi?
Mufti Sahab, labbaik. Yeah, just tell us when to come. Hukum. Bas.
Inshallah. Just.
And we'll make sure that we bring a kafla from South Africa. And we go in different parts of Malawi and explore and learn and understand properly.
SubhanAllah. In Pakistan, we do have, you know, we're going to such and such city. They talk about a huge kafila. I think maybe we should, you know, a good 100 of us, inshallah, go to Malawi. You know, Mustafa also said, inshallah, from South Africa, we'll have brothers going, brothers from the UK. And yes, this is something which...
If we are arranging a kafila, you know, in some time, in just before, after Ramadan.
Right.
So inshallah, maybe we can join Mustafa in Malawi or any other country.
Jazakallah.
Jazakallah, and welcome, and thanks for inviting me and letting me join this beautiful silsila of Madani Channel.
It was great having you, Mufti Sahab. Honestly, barakallah, it's a blessing for you to be with us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. Now, my dear viewers, we will move to our daily hadith sharif. Then, inshallah, we shall go to our final segment. What is that segment? A department of Dawat-e-Islami. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم. Dear viewers of Rise and Shine, no doubt calling towards righteousness is a tremendous form of worship and a means to attain countless good deeds. Inshallah ta'ala, in today's daily hadith, we will hear about such an individual whose reward is unimaginable. Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu has reported that he heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam say that the Mu'adhinun will have the longest necks on the Day of Judgment. Meaning the Mu'adhinun are those people who call out the Adhan, who invite the people for the Salah. Sheikh Abdul Haq Muhaddis Dehlvi alayhi rahmah states that the long necks here has been used as a metaphor, has figuratively been used to illustrate the fact that the Mu'adhinun will have a superior rank and a status on the Day of Judgment. In light of another hadith, it is mentioned that whoever gives Adhan for 7 years, freedom of hell is recorded for him. And replying to the Adhan also has countless blessings and a great blessing to those who hear the Adhan being called out and reply to it. They can assure themselves with the intercession of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to take heed that when the Mu'azzin says Hayya ala salah, we leave all our tasks and we head towards the masjid to perform our salah with jama'ah. Ameen bijahi nabil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Now, mashallah, Hafsa, it seems you may have gone a little bored, you know, you were waiting.
No,
mashallah. I'll give you a rest, mashallah.
Alhamdulillah, as I heard you talking, that's enough for us.
Allahu Akbar. Now, Hafiz Sahib, inshallah, we shall be moving to our last and final segment, a department of Dawud Islami. But before that, you know, anything else you'd like to share in regards to despising the poor? Let's look at a few reasons. Yeah. Now, one is pride, isn't it? You know, pride, a person's proud, a person. Yeah. Well, one is just a misunderstanding. Because they think the poor are another creation. They think they're, you know, like not even human. Some people think like this. How would you tackle these?
You know, the thing is, you know, always thank Allah Azzawajal for what He has given you. You know, sometimes a lot of people think that, and we talk amongst ourselves as well.
Yeah.
We wish we were at the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Yes.
But if you look at it, you know, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, even Abu Jahl lived at the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. All these kuffar, they lived at the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But the Sahaba Ikram, they had to go through a very, very difficult time. You know, and these Sahaba Ikram Alayhim Ridwan, you know, what did they have? They had the love of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They had the knowledge of the deen. And I always I say that it's because of the lack of knowledge that people will think about these kind of things. Once, if you've done something which you never knew out of a, you know, mistake, that's different. But knowing that this is wrong and you're still doing it because you've got that pride that Allah Ta'ala, you know, you're better than that person, just ask yourself that question. What if Allah Ta'ala takes all that wealth away and gives it to that person?
No.
It's happened many times. You know, many rich and famous people, you know, are penniless now. They're begging on the streets. And I heard about one personality. He used to, you know, be living in living amongst, you know, gold. Even, you know, his bathroom was made of gold. But now, you know, this is a person who's, you know, he's got nothing left in his life. Always fear Allah Azza wa Jal and always think good about these people.
Muhammad Ali was undoubtedly, we should respect, honor poor people. Why? Because this is one way of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what He has granted us. And we shouldn't reject poor people. We should always try to give poor people things. We should invite them to our house to eat. Yes, this is something we should do. We feel uncomfortable, my dear viewers, but mashallah, as Mufti Sahib told us, that you will. For example, I remember when I went to spend some time in Pakistan, and sadly, the state of the students there is very, very different. And at first, I couldn't even sit down and eat with them, really. You know, I used to always eat from outside, but then I just couldn't eat no more from outside because, you know, you just get sick of it, don't you?
Mm.
So then I thought, you know, let's try this. And just sitting with them was difficult. And it's just something where after, alhamdulillah, I was really blessed, mashallah, that after some time, I just became normal. I was used to it. It was normal for me. And this is what we need to do. What it is sometimes there is a misunderstanding.
Mm.
Sometimes you can't blame the people for feeling that because it is normal. But if it's wrong, then as Mufti Sahib said, you should rectify it.
Yeah.
That should be reformed If a person says, oh no, I can't be bothered, or it's too difficult for me to pray Salah, it doesn't mean it's forgiven, does it?
And there's a waqia of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where a rich person, he slaps a poor person. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and he was a leader amongst his people as well. Yeah. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, okay, this person, he was given the chance to take revenge. And he was going to be brought and he was going to slap him back. But during the night he fled and he ran away and he turned away from Islam as well. You know, mm-hmm. And you know, these are such people, ma'azallah. There might be cases where, you know, people, you know, they think of about themselves better than everyone else. These people have chances of
the case came
away.
To the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, didn't it? That somebody, you know, did such and such thing, and that, you know, they said to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we are a noble family. This would be an embarrassment if this was to happen to our child. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if it was my own daughter, the Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, I would do the same. So we don't treat people who are rich. Sadly, this is the way we live.
Yeah.
It is like this. But inshallah, we can all play our own role.
Yeah.
It is, and it's not a, it's the individuals who to make up a society. It is the individuals who change a society. And if we were to change as individuals, inshallah, undoubtedly we shall have
a better
society.
You know, they say money can bring a lot of things, like in, money can bring pride in you as well, and you know, our elders used to say, "Paisa itna akal gitiya cha." They have nothing else, and it's only money that they have.
Allahu Akbar. Malay, it was our last and final segment of the day, a department of Dawat-e-Islami. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah.
Introduction to Majlis Madani Courses. Alhamdulillahi Azza wa Jal, among 107 departments of Dawat-e-Islami, Majlis Madani Courses is one under which Madani Courses are conducted.
Alhamdulillahi Azza wa Jal, Dawat-e-Islami ke 107 ke aaspaas shobe hain, unme ek shoba Madani Courses ka hai. Alhamdulillah, Dawat-e-Islami ke Madani Mahol mein مدنی تربیت کا سلسلہ تو رہتا ہی ہے اس چیز کی ضرورت محسوس ہوئی کہ کیوں نہ ہم کورسز کا سلسلہ کریں اور کورسز کے ذریعے جو ہے وہ سیکھنے کا اہتمام باقاعدہ ہو کسی ایک موضوع کو لیا جائے اور اس موضوع کے متعلق جو ہے وہ مکمل معلومات دینے کی کوشش کی جائے تو الحمدللہ عز و جل 2000 سے جو ہے مدنی کورسز کا دعوت اسلامی کے مدنی ماحول میں آغاز ہوا
Majlis Madani courses, under which 63-day Madani Tarbiyati course, 7-day 12 Madani Kaam course, 7-day Islah-e-Amal course, and 7-day Faizan-e-Namaz course are conducted.
Amir Ahl-e-Sunnat, Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadiri Razavi Ziyai, Damat Barakatul Aliya ne har Dawat-e-Islami wale ko ye Madani maqsad diya, ke mujhe apni اور ساری دنیا کے لوگوں کی اصلاح کی کوشش کرنی ہے اپنی اصلاح ہو یا دوسرے کی اصلاح ہو بغیر سیکھے کیسے ہو سکتی ہے اس کو سیکھنا پڑتا ہے
What is Tarbiyati course? Tarbiyati course provides an opportunity to adopt the company of the devotees of Rasool. The curriculum entails many sciences of knowledge, some of which are farz for every adult and sane Muslim.
مسلمان کو اپنی زندگی کیسے گزارنی ہے کیا بولنا ہے کیا نہیں بولنا زبان کی احتیاطیں کیا ہیں مدنی کورسز میں پاک ہونے کا طریقہ کپڑے پاک کرنے کا طریقہ سکھایا جاتا ہے تیمم کا طریقہ سکھایا جاتا ہے وضو کا طریقہ سکھایا جاتا ہے نماز کے متعلق اس میں سکھایا جاتا ہے
7-day فیضان نماز کورس
میں نماز کے متعلق شرائط فرائض واجبات مکروہات مفسدات جو کہ ان میں سے بعض چیزیں سیکھنا مسلمان کے لیے فرض ہے بعض چیزیں سیکھنا اس پہ مسلمان کے لیے واجب ہے
Among the salient features of this course, it also includes wuzu, ghusl, the method of reciting the Holy Quran with right makharij and pronunciation, rulings of salah and practical method of its performance.
Namaz. افضل عبادت ہے بروز قیامت جو سب سے پہلا سوال ہوگا وہ نماز کے متعلق ہوگا آپ اپنا ذہن بنائیں کہ مجھے نماز سیکھ کر پڑھنی ہے نماز دیکھ کر نہیں پڑھنی تو الحمدللہ دعوت اسلامی کے مدنی ماحول میں ایک کورس ہوتا ہے فیضان نماز کورس، یہ 7 دن کا ہوتا ہے، اس میں نماز کے فرائض، نماز کے شرائط، نماز کے واجبات، نماز کے مفسدات یہ سکھانے کی کوشش کی جاتی ہے اور اس کی عملی مشق بھی کروائی جاتی ہے صرف 7 دن.
Thank you Allah for the madani environment. Thank you Allah for all your blessings. Thank you Allah for all your blessings. Thank you Allah for the madani environment.
مدنی چینل کے ناظرین میں آپ سے عرض کروں گا کہ جن اسلامی بھائیوں نے ابھی تک فیضان نماز کورس نہیں کیا تو ان کو فیضان نماز کورس کی دعوت دیتا ہوں تاکہ ہم نماز سیکھ کر ادا کریں.
7-day اصلاح اعمال کورس. ڈیورنگ دا تربیتی کورس اسپیشل ایمفیسس از لیڈ آن دا فالوئنگ ٹریٹس فار دا کیریکٹر بلڈنگ آف دا اٹینڈیز.
ایک مسلمان کا ظاہر کیسا ہونا چاہیے تو ایک مسلمان کا باطن کیسا ہونا چاہیے، باکردار مسلمان بننے کے لیے کیا کرنا چاہیے. آنکھ کے بھی گناہ ہے، کان کے بھی گناہ ہے، ہاتھ کے بھی گناہ ہے، پیٹ کے بھی گناہ ہے، کئی گناہ ایسے ہیں جو زبان سے ہوتے ہیں، تو کیا ہمیں پتہ ہے کہ زبان سے کون کون سا گناہ ہوتا ہے؟ تو اب یہ پوری معلومات حاصل کرنی ہے تو اس کا بھی ایک کورس ہے. مجلس مدنی کورسز کے تحت ایک کورس ڈیزائن کیا گیا اور اس کورس کا اب نام جو ہے وہ اصلاح اعمال کورس ہے.
Thank you Allah for the madani environment. Thank you Allah for all your blessings. Thank you Allah for all your blessings. Thank you Allah for the madani environment.
اگر ہم امیر سنت کا تحفہ جو 72 مدنی نامات ہمیں عطا ہوا ہے اس کے عامل بننا چاہتے ہیں تو ہمیں اصلاح اعمال کورس کرنا ہوگا، اس میں ایک ایک مدنی نامات پر عمل کرنا سکھایا جاتا ہے.
7-day 12 مدنی کام کورس. دا وے آف کیرینگ آؤٹ 12 مدنی ایکٹیویٹیز از ٹاٹ ٹو دا پارٹیسپینٹس آف دا کورس.
دعوت اسلامی کے 12 مدنی کام ہیں اور 12 مدنی کام یہ وہ ہیں کہ جن کے ذریعے لوگوں کو نیکی کی دعوت دینی ہے، لوگوں کو ترغیب دلا کر مسجد میں لے کر آنا ہے. 7 دن کا 12 مدنی کام کو اس میں کیا ہوتا ہے؟ اس میں یہ ہوتا ہے کہ درس دینے کا طریقہ سکھایا جاتا ہے کہ آپ کو درس کس طرح دینا ہے، بیان کرنے کا طریقہ سکھایا جاتا ہے کہ آپ کو بیان کس طرح کرنا ہے، اسی طرح نیکی کی دعوت کس طرح دینی ہے، لوگوں کی نفسیات کو کس طرح جانا ہے، کس نرمی، کس شفقت، کس محبت سے لوگوں کو دین کی طرف لے کر آنا ہے، اس میں پورا سمجھایا جاتا ہے کہ ہمیں مدنی دورہ کس طرح کرنا ہے، ہمیں دکان دکان جا کر، گھر گھر جا کر جو ہے وہ نیکی کی دعوت جو ہے وہ کس طرح دینی ہے. اسی طرح جو اطراف ہے، گاؤں ہے، گوٹ ہیں، ان میں بھی ہمیں نیکی کی دعوت دینی ہے، تو وہاں جا کر ہمیں نیکی کی دعوت کس طرح دینی ہے، یہ الحمدللہ تربیت جو ہے یہ 12 مدنی کام کورس میں ہوتی ہے.
By the merits of these madani courses, the spoiled people of the society who remain indulged in sinful activities and deviate from salah, fast and recitation of Quran are able to clean and rectify their internal and external character. 63-day madani tarbiyati course. The curriculum entails many sciences of knowledge, some of which are farz for every adult and sane Muslim. There are many virtues of acquiring religious knowledge.
الحمدللہ اس 63-day مدنی تربیتی کورس میں مدنی قاعدہ بھی پڑھایا جاتا ہے، اسی طرح نیکی کی دعوت دینا بھی سکھایا جاتا ہے، اس میں عقائد کے متعلق بھی الحمدللہ اس میں ایک حلقہ ہوتا ہے جس میں عقائد کے متعلق الحمدللہ عز و جل تربیت ہوتی ہے.
الحمدللہ عز و جل وضو، غسل and a practical demonstration of salah are taught in this course. The curriculum also includes the learning of the method of giving ghusl to the deceased, shrouding and burying a dead body, funeral salah and Eid salah, etc. Furthermore, Quranic recitation with proper manners and correct pronunciation of Arabic alphabet are also taught with the help of Madani Qaida. Students memorize the last 20 chapters of the Holy Quran and practice the recitation of Surah Mulk.
اگر کوئی بالکل کورا اسلامی بھائی آ جائے، کورا مسلمان آ جائے گا، کسی کو کچھ بھی نہیں پتا، تو اللہ کی رحمت سے 63 دن میں یہ نماز سیکھ چکا ہوگا، یہ وضو سیکھ چکا ہوگا، یہ غسل کا طریقہ جان چکا ہوگا، یہ اپنے وجود کو تو پاک کرنا سیکھ چکا ہوگا، اپنے کپڑوں کو پاک کرنا بھی سیکھ چکا ہوگا، اسی طرح یہ درس دینے والا بن چکا ہوگا، یہ نیکی کی دعوت دینے والا بن چکا ہوگا. 63 دن میں ڈھیروں علم دین کا خزانہ اس کے ہاتھ آئے گا.
During the Tarbiyati course, special emphasis is laid on the following traits for the character building of the attendees: honesty, gentleness, tolerance, humility, forgiving others, manners of conversation, manners of making individual effort, the lifeblood of Dawat-e-Islami's Madani working, and method of practicing the acts of piety, etc. Alhamdulillahi Azza wa Jal, besides Karachi, this course is offered in several other cities around Pakistan.
Alhamdulillahi Azza wa Jal, duniya bhar mein madani courses ke tahat dhero dher madani courses hote hi hain. Alhamdulillah, Pakistan mein mahana 50 se 60 madani courses hote hain. Yun salana 600-700 ke aas paas madani courses ki tarkeeb hai.
Furthermore, all these courses are also conducted online, where responsible people, zimmedaran, participate from all over the world.
आप ऑनलाइन भी दुनिया भर में जहां भी हैं तो ये कोर्स कर सकते हैं. इसके लिए आप हमसे राब्ता फरमाएं.
During the course, the participants also travel Madani Qaflas. On the last day, the course ends on dua and salatu salam.
तो ये है Madani courses की बहारें. तो आप भी ये मदनी कोर्सेज कीजिए, दूसरों को भी इसकी तरगीब दिलाइए. कम वक्त में अपनी इस्लाह किस तरह करनी है ये सीखिए, कम वक्त में नेकी की दावत किस तरह देनी है ये सीखिए.
Upon the completion of the course, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, many individuals who used to lead a wicked life commit themselves to offer salah regularly and become good Muslims. They become righteous, earning respect in the society. Therefore, whoever gets the opportunity should learn religious knowledge by enrolling himself in this course. Those who cannot enroll for 63 days should approach the Madani Center, as they may be permitted to attend the course for less than 63 days.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. My dear viewers, Alhamdulillah Azra, that was one of our many departments. The department is department of courses, my dear viewers. Many courses, mashallah, they mention. And the beautiful thing is, if you wanted to go learn how to pray your salah, somebody would come and teach you in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, even an hour session. But my dear viewers, mashallah, that's something, providing a 7-day course, which shows, you know, so we're not just wasting your time for 7 days, which shows how much we're missing. If you learnt your salah by looking at somebody else, if you learn your salah in 10 minutes, then how good of a salah would this be, my dear? Just something to think about. Hafsa, subhanAllah, we have close to no time at all. Any courses in particular you wish to speak about? Something you like to encourage?
This one, and Alhamdulillah, we're doing this salah course. And even in the whole of the UK, we had a course to train Islamic brothers to teach this course. So it was a Muallim Salah course.
What if somebody's afraid they'll fail the test?
It doesn't matter. The thing is, you need to understand, is if you fail, this is not like something that, okay, you fail the test, that's it, yeah, go back home. You benefited. And no one fails. Alhamdulillah, you've learned something new. This certificate is just a routine that we have.
Meaning he's taken part in the certificate.
But Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, you're going to definitely learn a lot of things in your salah. I'm going to be, inshallah, on and off in that salah course as well. But it's beautiful. And in the UK, this is what we're trying to do. Salah course, burial course. There's 43 courses. We've got a list in the UK. In Pakistan, Alhamdulillah, there's hundreds of courses. But what we can do in the UK is a list of 43 courses we're going to do online as well. In your own comfort of the home, in your own leisure time, learn these courses.
SubhanAllah, many viewers, many opportunities. Some people say, you know, I can't come in. If you can't come in, you can do it online. There's so many options, so many opportunities with Dawat Islam. Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal. Many viewers, remember, there are opportunities online. You can go to the Dawat Islami website, dawatislami.net, my dear viewers. And you can join courses, you can partake, you can enroll in any particular course. And inshallah, Azza wa Jal, this shall be of immense benefit. That's all for now. We shall be returning. Again, Jazakallah khairah, Hafiz, for joining us. My dear viewers, that's all for now. Continue to recite the Durood Sharif upon Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-habib
sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace
of Allah, by the grace of Allah. Even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise.